Okay, thank you so much. So you were probably expecting to see a beautiful young girl named Sophie up here, but it is me. It's Garrett. So sorry, you're stuck with me this morning. She's sick, unfortunately. And as you can probably tell, I am not from England. I'm from Texas. So pardon my English. It's American English. So if I say anything you don't understand, I apologize ahead of time. Like I said, I'm from Texas. I'm 22 years old. My name's Garrett Houston from Houston, Texas, so that's easy to remember. Before I came on this gap year program, I was in university, and I still have a year left, so I'm still a university student. So that's kind of where I'm at in my life. And I mentioned to you earlier that about my family, just very briefly about my family, and they're very important to me. I have a picture that I wanted to put up on the screen because this is going to be a little bit different than what you're probably used to hearing as a speak. I'm going to be sharing loads of stories. They all have points, and they're going to be stories from my life. They're going to be stories from my family's life. They're going to be Bible stories, but all with the point of getting across the message I want to speak. And so the message today is titled, Give It All to Jesus. Before we start, I just want to introduce you to them. If you can see them, let's see, from right to left on the screen. Okay, you're right, let's see. Yeah, okay, so the one who doesn't look like he's from America is Nam Vo. He's from Vietnam. We adopted him 2 years ago. He's amazing. He's 16 years old, and he's just full of joy, and he's an awesome brother. The handsome one above him is Garrett. That's me. And then the guy next to me, who looks a lot like me if I were 30 years older, is my dad, and he's awesome and amazing. And then next to him is my mom, Dawn. My dad's name is Todd. Next to her in the blue shirt in the back with the beard is Brett. He's a year under me. Everybody thinks he's older than me. He's not. He's a year under me. He actually, today, is leaving to go on mission to Kazakhstan, so that's pretty cool. And then next to him is Kyle, who is 17 years old, and he's amazing as well. So that's my family. So I just wanted to introduce you to them because you're going to hear a couple stories about them this morning. But before I get to those, I want to start with a story in the Bible. So if you'll just turn to Mark 12, we're going to be looking at the story of the title is The Widow's Offering. So it's Mark 12. 41 through 44. And before I even read it, I just love how in the Bible God can use so little words to convey such a big message. Because like this passage is probably less than 100 words, but yet it conveys this massive message about how we're meant to live our lives. And I just think that's amazing that God can use something so small to do something so big. And so I'm just going to read it. So it's Mark 12, 41 through 44. And it says, Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. So I love this story because there's a lot of reasons, but the major reason is because it shows that something so small in the hands of God can be so big, and that he's not looking for us to do big things. He just wants us to do the little things. And so what's cool about the story is when people were putting their money into the bucket, I guess. It wouldn't be a bucket. It'd probably be like a dome-shaped thing on a platform like this. And they would come up and put their money in it, and people could see them put their money in. And so you'd get people walking by, putting money in, and it didn't mean anything to them because they had money to spare, so they just put it in. But then you see this lady who, chances are, some of this money might have actually gone to people like her, poor people like her. They would have given some of this money to people like her, who came up with very little money, and it didn't look like she was giving much, but she put in these two coins, And Jesus knew that that was everything she had. Like, he gave her, she gave him everything. She didn't have anything else. She was risking everything by putting those in. She didn't have a living anymore because she put those in. And I just think that's amazing. And so that's the point I want to get across today. I want to get across the point that in the hands of God, everything in our life can be used for so much bigger than what we can use it, and that he wants every part of our life. And so with the story, I'm going to start with some stories about physical things, and we'll move into some other aspects. So the first story I want to share is of my dad. And so my dad is a very giving person. He has a he's like these people. He'll just give away money, and he doesn't really think much about it. And that's something that God has put in his heart to do. And like, because some people are quite frugal with their money, and some people are quite, and they just give it all out. And he's more the person who just kind of gives it all out. And so we were in Boston, and something he always does, he always feels so drawn to people who are homeless when you see them on the street, and always wants to give them money, always wants to buy them food. And so we were in Boston, and he saw this lady just sitting on the side of the road, and he decided he was going to go buy her some food. So he went to McDonald's, and when he got to McDonald's, there was another lady standing in front of McDonald's asking for money. And so he said, "Oh, you know what, I'll buy you food as well." And so he went in, and he bought this lady food, and he bought the other lady food. And then he came out, and another guy came up and asked for food. And so he said, "Okay, I'll give you food as well." And so he went and bought this guy food. And after he bought all these people food, every time he prayed with them afterwards, because he realizes why he's buying them food. It's an opportunity to share Jesus with them. And so he bought them the food, and then he prayed with them. Nothing out of the usual from what he normally does. But there was this guy standing there on the phone. He wasn't poor. He wasn't in need. But he just saw my dad giving these people food and praying with them. And something came over him and was like, "I need prayer." And he asked my dad to pray with him. And to my dad, going into it, he just thought, "I'm buying food for a homeless person." But actually, because he was willing to do what God was asking him to do, what he felt God had placed on his heart to do, God used him to speak into a life of somebody who maybe, if he wouldn't have seen him do that, would have never asked for prayer, to be honest, I don't even know what he prayed for him about, but I know that it was very impactful to that guy. And so that's just one example. In my life, this is a story I've never shared before because I feel like I'm bragging when I say it, but actually what I'm doing is I'm bragging on God. And so my dad, when we were younger, used to have us, he's a very financial guy, and so he used to have us sort out our money, our allowance. So we'd put it into different envelopes, one that said giving, one that said saving, one that said spending, all that stuff, so we're learning how to, you know, use our money properly. Very practical guy. I had been saving up money in my giving, and usually it would just go to something that we call a vacation Bible school, so which is like a little thing that kids go to, and they would raise money for a good cause, but they would do it in a way that that was exciting for the kids. And normally it would go to that, and I wasn't thinking about why I was giving it. I was thinking about the thing, because whoever, they would raise money, and whoever got the most money in their bucket would get slimed at the end of the week and stuff like that. And that's the purpose for why I was giving the money originally. But when I was little. But there was one year where I'd raised up this money, and normally I would have given it to that, but I just didn't feel right about it that year. And I was about 13, and I felt like God wanted me to go to my youth pastor and give it to him and tell him, because we took a mission trip to Louisiana every year, and tell him that I wanted it to be used to get students on that mission trip, to take students on that mission trip. And that was something God placed on my heart. And so I did that. And the money was used to pay for two students' missions, two students who wouldn't have been able to go otherwise. And they went, and the amazing thing about that was, in my hands, that money was just money that I would have given to something that maybe it would have had significance of some sort, but not much, to be honest, but in God's hands, because I allowed God to use it the way he wanted to, God used those students to bring several people to the Lord on that trip. And so now, because I was willing to give that money up to God and say, okay, I'll spend it on what you want me to spend it on, those students went, and now there are people who have relationship with Jesus because of it. And that's nothing of me. That's everything because of God. That's all because of God. And it's not only for the kingdom work. I just want to point out, I have one more physical material story. So last year when I was in university, I used to help at a food bank type place where they serve food, and they did clothing, they did all this stuff for people who were in need of that kind of stuff. And so I would go back and I would help with the clothing. And while I was there, the lady who worked there told me that there was a guy who came in about once a month who was looking for shoes, but they never had them in his size. And then she told me his shoe size was 13. And ironically, that was my shoe size because I have a massive foot. And so I told her, you know what, I have extra shoes at home. I'll go get some and bring them back next time I come. And so I didn't think anything of it, and I was just serving there. But I felt like God put it on my heart to give him the shoes I was wearing. And for some reason, I really struggled with that. I don't know why. I'm normally pretty easy to just give up material things like that. But I was like, I don't want to give up my shoes right now. I like these shoes. It was ridiculous. But by the end, I decided, okay, God, I'll give them up. And so I took off the shoes I had, and I gave them to the lady and said, if that guy comes back, here's some shoes for him. And I walked out of that place, and I just felt, like, so joyful and just peaceful. Like, I felt amazing. It was one of the most amazing experiences of my life. Like, I felt so good in that moment because I was willing to give up to God. To be honest, I don't know if that guy ever even got those shoes. I never heard. But I felt good about it because I was able to do what God asked me to do. So sometimes God asks you to give up something for him just so he can bring something good into your life because you're holding on to something that maybe you find to be as important, close to important as God. And so that's another reason why God might ask you to give something up. So I want to go into a different story. We're going to look at the story of Abraham and Isaac. If you want to turn there, it's in Genesis 22. I'm not going to read it. I'm just going to give a brief summary of it because it's a long story. So Abraham was an old man, and he didn't have any children. And God promised him that him and his wife would have kids and that he would be made the father of many nations. He would have the descendants as many as the stars in the sky and the grains of sand on the beach. Which seemed ridiculous to him at the time because they were too old to have kids. But God delivered his promise, and he gave him a son named Isaac. But the part I want to focus on is a part later in the story. So about 30 years after he had Isaac, God asked Abraham to sacrifice Isaac to God, which it's crazy. It sounds insane. But Abraham did it. He had faith, and he did it. He was going to sacrifice his son. So he took him up the mount. He got everything ready and prepared, and he was getting ready to sacrifice his son because God asked him to. And then God stopped him, and he gave him a ram. Now, we all look at that story, and I think we all know that God was kind of making sure to see whether or not Abraham trusted God enough to keep his promise and to take care of his son, or if he cared more for his son than God. But I think there's another thing that God was asking him to give up. I think Isaac represented a promise. Isaac represented that promise of the many descendants that he would have in his life, that Abraham would have in his life. And so I think not only was he asking Abraham to give up his son and be like, trust God more than the son that he had, but he was also asking him to give up that promise. He said, I made a promise to you, Abraham, and I want you to give that promise back to me so that I can do something with it. And I think that's what he was asking Abraham of. So along with physical things, we need to give up the things that God's given to us. So if maybe God's made a promise to you, or maybe it's something else, but you need to give that up to God. And I have an example of this in my life. And so, like I said, my family is so big in my life, and they mean so much to me. And this year was part of giving up something like that to God. I think that one of the big things God was asking me of this year was if I would give up my family, if I would trust him and give up my family for a year, because they know and I know that it's insane for me to be away from home for this long, because I was never away from home. I loved being at home. They were everything to me, and they still are, and I love them so much. But this year, not only have I given up my family, but I've learned how to, like I said earlier, rely on God, completely rely on God. And so there was this sense of giving up my security to God, because what I found was my security was in my family and not in God. And God wanted me to give up my security to him and said, I'll take care of you. I'll care for you. I'll provide for you. Not your family. I will. Come to me first. And so that was one of the big things that God has been doing over this year. It was this idea of giving up my family and giving up my security to God. And he's blessed me for it immensely. Another thing I've really struggled with is confidence. I've struggled with confidence so much in my life. And this plays a big part because of Brett. He is one of these people. How many of you know a person who's just naturally good at everything they do? Absolutely everything they do. This is Brett. He is so good at everything he does. He was a state champion track and field runner. He was one of the best American football players in the division he was in. He was the second highest score in the school as far as what we call GPA, but it's basically he was the second smartest kid in the school. And he's just so good. It's like, even for example, he one time when he was 16, 17-ish, we had some foreign exchange students live with us from Korea, and one of them played tennis. And so we went to his tennis tournament, and for some reason, there was somebody there who didn't show up to the tournament that was supposed to be playing against this other guy, and this guy still wanted to play a match because that's what he came here for, he wanted to play. And so Brett was there, and he said, I'll play you. And Brett had never played tennis in his life, not once. And he went in, and he beat this guy, who's a competitive tennis player. I'm telling you, he's so good at everything he does, just naturally. And so one of the biggest reasons I struggled with confidence is because I compared myself to Brett a lot, and I was like, I don't understand why I can't do the things that Brett can do. I don't understand why I'm not as good at these things as Brett is. And so that was a lot of the reason I struggled with confidence. But God actually used my mom to take that away, to help me through that. And I remember we were on a mission trip, and we shared our testimony on the mission trip. And Brett shared his, and I shared mine. And for some reason, I felt like he got a better response than I did. That probably wasn't true, but at the moment, that's what I thought. And so I went up to my mom and dad's room, and I was just sad and, like, just telling them about what I was struggling with and how I was finding this really difficult. And my mom brought up Andrew and Peter. And she said, in the Bible, there's two disciples, Andrew and Peter. And Peter is the more well-known disciple. When people look at the Bible, you can see loads of stories about Peter and different things that he's written and stuff like that. But Andrew, you don't see as much about. He's kind of in the background a little bit. But God used Andrew to bring Peter to Jesus. And so if it wasn't for Andrew, there'd be no ministry of Peter. There'd be no these famous stories of Peter. They wouldn't have been there because God used Andrew to bring him to him. And she said, you know what, you may be more like Andrew, but when Brett was little, he was looking up at you. He was watching what you were doing, and you're the reason he came to Jesus. You're the reason he wanted to pursue some of these things and do some of these things. So God used you to get him to where he is now. So Feel happy about that. Feel confident about that, that God is still using you, that you're, that it doesn't matter who's in the front and who's in the back, but that you're both doing what God asked you to do. And that's this, that's important. And so this was something I had to give up to God. I had to, anytime I felt down on myself, anytime still today that I have a negative thought about myself, I have to remind myself, you know what? That's not true. That's not what Jesus says about me. That's not what the Bible says about me. That's not what, it doesn't matter how little or how big my ministry is. God's still using me. God still loves me no matter what I do. And so I have to give those thoughts to God. I have to give those things to him and just trust in what he says about me. So the last thing I want to talk about, the last point, is that we can give up our difficult situations to God. And this is evident in the story in John 4 about the Samaritan woman. So if you want to turn to that, you can. It's John 4, 1 through 26. Again, I'm probably just going to give a brief thing about it. So this is about Jesus and this Samaritan woman. And Jesus meets this lady at a well. And he's talking to this lady. This lady's talking to him, and she comes to find out who he is. He tells her about this living water is what he tells her about. And what he's referring to is he's referring to himself. He's saying, if you come to me, then you'll always be satisfied. You'll never thirst for anything. And so there's a point in the story where the lady says, oh, yeah, I want that. I want that. And Jesus does an interesting thing. He doesn't say, okay, then, let me give it to you. He says, No. You're with a man who's not your husband. He brings up this sin in her life. Like, it, I don't know. That's so weird to me that he would bring up a sin. But I think it's for a really good reason. It's because Jesus wasn't just satisfied with her starting a relationship with him. Jesus wanted everything in her life, even the nasty stuff. And so he brought that up and said, no, that's what I want to deal with right now. I want relationship with you, but that's what I want to start with right there. And I want you to give me that. And so within this story, we can see that even Jesus even cares about the horrible situations, the sins in our life. He wants those things. He paid for those things. When Jesus died on the cross, that's what he was paying for. Those things no longer belong to us, our sins and our struggles, they don't belong to us because Jesus died for those on the cross. And so we have to give those to him. And another point I want to bring out is that you don't have to have those things fixed before you come to Jesus and before you start doing things for Jesus. Once that woman went back to her town, she started telling everybody about Jesus before she ever even went and talked to that man, whoever the man was that she was with that wasn't her husband. She started telling people about Jesus. And Jesus used that, and God used that. And so don't think that you have to have your life sorted out before you can do stuff for God, before you can tell people about Jesus, before you can live a life for God. He sorts those things out while you're living a life with him, not before. And so I just want to share a couple more stories, and then I have an example. So this year, God's revealed some things that are in my life that I didn't even realize were there. Some fears, some anger that's within in my heart. And like I said, I didn't know they were there, but that's something I've had to start to give up to God. So for example, there was one day when I came to, when we were out doing ministry and stuff, I just was filled with such anger, and I don't know why. I have no earthly idea why I was filled with such anger, and I've never been a very angry person, but I couldn't, there was nothing, I was trying everything to get rid of it. I was, I don't know, doing everything except for giving it over to Jesus. That was the only thing I wasn't doing, and so, like, I was listening to Christian music, like, normally Christian music puts me in a good mood and different stuff like that, so I was reminded of this idea of giving stuff to Jesus. And so I just prayed and asked him to take it from me and said, God, this is yours. This doesn't belong to me. Because a couple days before, I'd heard this guy tell a story about how he had this vision of him meeting with Jesus, and Jesus was coming at him like, I want that. You've stolen that from me. You've taken that from me. And he didn't understand what he was saying, but he soon realized that there was this sin that he was holding on to, that he wasn't giving up to Jesus, and Jesus was saying, you know what? I paid for that. That's mine. That belongs to me. It doesn't belong to you anymore. And I was reminded of that. And so I prayed and I was like, Jesus, I want to give this anger over to you. I want to give it over to you. And the moment I did that, I just felt such peace. And I just felt such joy. It was like a complete shift. It was anger. And then I was like over here with joy and stuff. And the same thing with the fear. When I had a fear, I was just, I've always been able to do stuff. Even stuff that makes me fearful, like, you know, speaking in front of people and stuff. I've always just been able to do it, even though I have a little bit of a fear of it. But there was one day where I was just overcome with this fear, and I was, like, paralyzed by it. And I had to do the same thing. I had to give it over to Jesus. And because I've done that, he deals with it. And it's something I have to do every morning. Every morning when I'm with God and I'm spending time with God, I'm saying, God, I want to give this to you this morning. I want to give my anger. I want to give this fear. I want to give whatever it is to you because it doesn't belong to me anymore. And I just want to say, if you feel like you have a situation or something in your life that God can't handle or that God can't use for his good, I want you to just take that away, okay? Because if the death of Jesus tells us anything, it tells us that God can use absolutely anything for his purposes. He used the brutal murder of his son, the brutal murder of an innocent man, Jesus, to bring about salvation to the whole world. And if he can use that to bring good in this world, he can use anything. This morning, actually, I wasn't going to share this, but it came to mind. Zoe was telling me about a time she went out and was doing street evangelism, and how they stopped this woman and wanted to tell her about Jesus, but the moment they brought it up, she said, if Jesus was really real, then my son would still be alive today, and then just kind of left, and it reminded me of when I did this message in Bertley. A lady came up to me, and she said, she was crying, and she told me that message really resonates with me because I lost my son a while back, and I had to learn to give that to Jesus. And because I did, he used it for things I could have never imagined. He used it for such good in my life. And it was obvious she still missed him. The pain wasn't completely gone, but she saw the good things that God brought into her life. And that's the difference. When we give things to Jesus, we're like the lady at Bertley who realizes there's good things that are coming out of this. It's still difficult and it's still hard, but she knew good things were coming out of it, opposed to this lady who doesn't know Jesus, and this is just weighing her down. It's difficult. She doesn't have anything to cope with it. She just feels anger and bitterness. When we hold on to things like that and we don't give them to Jesus, that's what it's like. We're not getting to experience the good things he has. And so can I get this next picture? So I want you to get this picture that we're like this bowl, okay? Before people meet Jesus, I think they're like this bowl, okay? They have a crack, they're broken. God's filled with them with things that haven't been accessed yet. And it's like when you're holding on to them, it's like you've taken this bowl and you've dumped it upside down to where the things that are inside the bowl can't be reached and the crack can't be fixed. Because it's face down and it's against the surface or whatever. But when we give it over to God, can I get the next picture? It becomes this. When we give it over to God and we allow him to access the things in our life, the brokenness, the things that the gifts that he's given us, not only is he allowed to get the gifts out, but he's able to fix that brokenness. And that is a picture of a Japanese bowl. There's this process in Japan where they break bowls and then they fill the cracks with gold and put it back together. And then that bowl becomes infinitely more valuable than it was before because it's filled with real pieces of gold. And that's what it's like. When God gets to our brokenness, when we allow him to access our brokenness, we become infinitely more valuable than we could have ever been on our own. We would just be a broken bowl opposed to this beautiful bowl with gold in it. And that's I think that's a picture of us. And so I just want to encourage you with that and end on one last story before I ask you to think about something. And this is just to get the point that God doesn't always do it the way you think. So there's a story of this missionary who felt like he was called to go reach this tribe, this unreached people group. And so he and his wife went to go reach this people group. And they were there for 30 years trying to reach this people group. They never got into the tribe. They never led anybody to the Lord. By the 30 years, his wife had gotten sick, and so he came back. He was from America, and he came back to America. And they dealt with the sickness, and they just stayed there afterwards. And later on, she ended up passing away. And he just felt like he had wasted his entire life. And he was just feeling miserable about himself. And one day, this guy came up to him that was his only contact with the tribe. There was this little boy who every week would come and bring him milk. And he was part of this tribe, this little boy was. And so this boy, later on in his life, came to this man and found this man. And he told this man, because of you, I learned about Jesus. And because of you, I gave my life to the Lord. And because of you, I was able to bring my whole tribe to Jesus. And because of you, I started churches. And because of you, I've reached other tribes in the area. And I'm now talking to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people about Jesus who would have never heard of Jesus if you wouldn't have shared him with me first. So this man lived his whole life thinking he had just wasted it. But actually, he led one man to the Lord who led hundreds to the Lord. And so it may not be exactly what you think. God may not use the things exactly the way you think they're going to use them, but in his hands, he will use them. I guarantee you he'll use them, okay? And it's so much better if you do it his way, so much better. I mean, that's the picture of Jesus. That was a life completely submitted to the Lord, giving everything he had to God and allowing God to do what he wanted to do with it and not what Jesus wanted to do with it. So I just want to encourage you with that and just ask, what is the thing in your life that you're not giving over to Jesus? What's the thing that you need to give up? Because I don't believe that there's anybody in the world that doesn't have something they need to give to Jesus. Because if there was one person who didn't need to give anything up to Jesus, that person would be living a perfect life and none of us are living a perfect life. Because that's what imperfection is. It's rebellion against God. And so there's something. What is it? Maybe you don't know at the moment. Just ask God, what am I not giving to you? So we're going to be in the back, the DC team is, and so is the prayer team. And if you want prayer about this, if you want us to pray with you, we would love to do so. But I just encourage you this morning, whatever that is, give it to him. Give it to God, because he can use it for such an amazing purpose. I'll just pray, and then we'll do that. So, Lord, I just want to thank you for this morning. I want to thank you for your example, Jesus, of a life fully submitted to God and giving everything to him. I want to thank you for the many, many ways that I personally have got to see how giving things to you makes such a difference. And I know we've all seen those things, Lord. So I just pray, whatever it is in our hearts, whether it be something physical, whether it be something that you've given to us that we're holding on to that we need to give back to you, whether it be something negative, maybe it's a fear, maybe it's a doubt, maybe it's, I don't know, maybe it's a hard situation. Whatever it is, I just pray this morning, first, that you reveal it to us, and then secondly, that we would be willing to give it up to you. Because you don't come in and just take things from us. You're not a dictator. You're not a bully. But you want us to willingly give it to you because you love us and you want to handle those things and you want to give us the good things in life, Lord. And so I just ask, whatever that may be, I ask that we give it to you this morning, Lord, that we don't leave this room before we've given that over to you. And I just pray that you would use it for such amazing things, whether it be big or small, it doesn't really matter as long as it's being used for good. So it's in your precious name we pray. Amen.